Hey, now everybody, entering. Welcome to another episode of Today We Learned. My name is Razzle, as always. This is a fun little show here we got for you guys. I'm going to keep this short and get you guys right on into it. The guest is a young up-and-coming actor. You've seen him on Game of Thrones. He was Rickon Stark. He's also got a new film coming out this Friday, the 19th. Let me double check and make sure that's the actual Friday date. Yeah, Friday is the 19th. My math was wrong when I'm thinking of what day today is. Listen, guys, it's been a long weekend. Not just joking. It's the same amount. It's only 2 days. Same weekend. The weekend hasn't been any longer. But the film Kubo and the Two Strings. It's that new stop motion animated film from Laika coming out this weekend. It's from the same guys that did Paranorman and Coraline and The Box Trolls last year. If you like The Box Trolls, Box Trolls was a fun movie. This movie is great. It's really fun. Just go see it. It's really fun. Watch the trailer. It's a really fun film about storytelling, and there's a little bit of like a banjo in there. And our guest Art Parkinson, he's the voice of Kubo, of the title character, and he does a really great job at it. And he really brings this character to life. And it's all stop motion, guys. It's not all stop motion. It's done with some CG, but the characters were all like stop motion. So like people moved everything that they did, and then they filmed it, and then they did it again, and then they filmed it, and they moved it again, and so on and so on. That's what stop motion is. You stop, and then you motion, and then you stop again. But Art is a really fun little kid here, fun little dude to chat with. He's got some fun stories. We cover some fun facts and stuff like that. So without further ado, today we learned at number 146 with Art Parkinson.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Today We Learned. My name is Razzle, as always, and this is going to be a fun show already. I'm excited about it just because prior to getting in the studio, we were downstairs chatting about some fun things, and it was a lot of fun conversation, and I'm excited to keep this going. You've seen him on Game of Thrones. You've seen him on quite a few things, actually. Up-and-coming actor. He's been in Freak Dog, Dark Touch. He's San Andreas with The Rock. And he's the voice of Kubo in the new stop motion picture Kubo and the Two Strings, opening nationwide on August 19th from Laika. If I'm pronouncing that company correctly, they've done quite a few things. They did Paranorman, and Coraline, I believe. And this film is, I just watched it this morning. It's a really great film, really fun movie there.
Oh, thanks.
So if you're not driving, please give a warm round of applause to Art Parkinson.
How's it going?
How you doing?
Yeah, well, yourself.
Good to see you again. It's a whole 10 feet higher than we were before. So we like to start off the show with a guest providing either a fun fact about themselves or something you learned recently. Absolutely no rules at all. It can be anything, a new way you got around town or something you learned on the way here or...
I recently learned that it takes a week to produce 3 seconds of a stop motion animation.
Yes, I was reading about that in the pamphlet I got, and that blew my mind. I knew it takes time, but I didn't realize when they did the breakdown of that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, holy cow!
Oh yeah, it's mental.
And
we went and we did a tour of the Leica studios as we were like mid production on this, mid recording, and we actually got to see the very last scene of the Box Trolls being recorded. So Travis Knight, our director and producer, he was actually finishing that very last scene as we were doing the tour. And we probably interrupted him a load.
Yeah.
But the last day he was going to be doing it. And it was like, it was taking forever. Like, he just showed us a couple of shots he was doing. And it was like just minuscule movements and then a little picture and a minuscule movement. And they have so much patience for it. It's crazy.
It blows my mind. My buddy Seth does the show Robot Chicken, and it's very similar, where it's all just like stop motion, and it's so fascinating. And I love watching stop motion, and like even watching this, I watched it in 3D, and The 3D was great, and it wasn't overwhelming, but it was like, they did this, like,
yeah,
this isn't like CG. This is like, it looks so, like, you forget that it's stop motion because it looks so, it looks CG, but it's not.
Yeah.
And it's such a great blending of it where it's like, dude sat in a room, like, moving these things with their hands.
Yeah, and what's great about this as well, this production, is there is that infusion of CGI and stop motion, but you'd think, oh, so they probably did the big bits, like CGI, but it actually wasn't. Like, the biggest part of this film, or one of the biggest parts of this film, was the skeleton.
Yes, I seen it at that, and they do, like, the pullback, and they show how and giant this is.
I didn't get to see that as whenever I went and did the tour, because it was, like, it was, they were finishing another film, and they were just starting the Kubo's village, and the shamisens, and Kubo's faces, and things like that, because there's thousands and thousands of facial expressions he has. And so I didn't get to see that, but apparently it's, like, 16 feet tall, 600 or 400 pounds, and it's like huge.
Yeah, they if you it, like after the credits, if you say after the credits, they like show the animators working on it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's this giant, it's this huge thing. It's like, holy cow.
Because
then, like, I was reading in the thing, like, I think the Kubo was like 9 inches.
Yeah,
or something.
It's like 9.5 inches.
So comparatively, it's like, holy
it's
cow.
Like, it's huge.
Yeah,
and it's I think the universal sort of tour of what they do is on at the minute.
Yeah,
if I'm correct, and I think that's something that me and my mum are gonna try and go and see, because we didn't actually get to see a lot of the Kubo puppets.
Okay.
Apart from like the little the press junket stuff where they were sitting out and stuff for people to take pictures of and for us to take pictures with, but I never got to see the skeleton.
Yeah,
and that's something I really really want to see.
Now, so obviously it takes, you know, years for these types of movies to get filmed. Did you, since you took a tour of it while they were still finishing the box trolls, so you recorded all your audio prior, or did you do, how does that work for like a stop motion movie where are they animating it around your voice, or are they inserting your voice into their already
it's sort of 50-50. So
okay.
Like from what I've gathered from talking to Travis and everybody at Leica, they sort of work off each other.
Okay.
So like I'll have like puppets in there and illustrations and the original illustration, so it might be not exactly like the finished product, and then they'll sort of show me that to work off and get myself into the mindset of, and then they might take my voice or Charlize's voice, George Takei's voice, Matthew's voice, and turn that and like use that to inspire the animators,
okay,
and the artists and the illustrations and everything. And so from my understanding, that's how it works. Everybody's sort of bouncing off each other.
Okay.
But a lot of the time, like if you go into a pickup or something, you have to stay exactly to the script, and they don't. And like a lot of the time, whenever we're actually prior to the scene that we're recording being recorded, we go off script and we like add a few extra words and carry on even when the conversation's over.
Yeah.
And because that always turns out very well. A lot
Absolutely.
Of that's always incorporated
Makes
into the
it
film.
Way more organic.
Exactly. And so then it's like, but a lot, yeah. So a lot of the time that's done. So it can be restrictive whenever they've recorded it for whenever they've shot it first. But you know. It's that's the only time, and it's usually towards the end.
Okay. Now you were born here in Mobile, and you still reside in Mobile County.
Still, yeah.
How do you say County Donegal?
County
Ireland.
Donegal.
Now, if I'm correctly, I was looking at a map, and Mobile is like the city, right?
Yeah, Mobile's like a town.
It's
like a very small town.
So then County Donegal would be like a...
That would be the county.
The county,
so,
okay.
So Ireland's like... The only real cities are like Derry, Belfast, Dublin, and then there's like Limerick, and
there's
Sligo and stuff, but they'd be very small cities in comparison to somewhere like LA.
Okay.
But there's also a lot of little townships and little parishes and stuff.
Okay. So County Donegal is the county, Mobile is like the town in it.
Yeah.
There's like a smaller, so it'd almost be like Beverly Hills is like a smaller part of Los Angeles then.
No, it would be like, so Inishowen would be the peninsula that we're on.
Okay.
And that would have like different townships in it. So there would be like Mavill, Buncrana, Muff.
Okay.
Then there'd be Carndonagh and places like that. So there'd be different towns. And then, yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty much how it works.
And you've been there, you're born and raised there, and you still live there, right?
Yeah, born and raised there, yeah.
That is, now I'm looking here, it says, it's also pronounced Mafbile or something. How do I say that? Like it's the M-A-I-G-H.
Oh, yeah.
Because then it says, in Irish, it's Bonan Fobail.
Bonan Fobail, yeah.
Bun on Phobul. Now, what does that mean? Does Phobul, what is the origin, do you know the origin
Phobul,
of that?
Phobul means the foil. So we're actually situated on the Loch Foil.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's what that means.
Okay. And that's a very, we were talking earlier about there not being skateboarding there because it's a very hilly.
It's just there's not a rich skate culture in Ireland at all, really. It's like, you know, there's the odd person that might have a skateboard or something like in Derry or Belfast or Dublin, but not really where I'm come from.
Okay. Now, because this interests me, like I've never been to Ireland. Yeah. How does it compare to, especially like the northern part? Because I've heard stories about how they're very different in the, just in general. I mean, much like the United States, you know, you'll have like vast deserts, so then you'll have like a city. The part where you're from, is that like, where does it compare to the southern part, I guess? Because you're like on the northern, it's one of the northernest tips.
I'm at the very, very top. So I'm like 20 minutes from the actual very, very top, which is Malinhead.
Okay.
So, it's pretty much like just two different ends of the country. And then like the down in Dublin, they'd have a much different accent to me.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So it would be like Dublin's a lot more noticeably Irish.
Okay. Now, you're bilingual.
I am, yeah. I speak Irish.
You speak Irish and English then?
Yeah.
So there's two different English accent or two different Irish accents in Ireland, like the northern and the top, like you just said. Are there different Irish dialects, or is that
there would
accent?
Be, yeah. So there'd be like Celtic Irish and Dublin Irish and, you know, different like, and then Ulster Irish and stuff.
So which type of Irish do you speak?
I'd speak the more Ulster Standard Irish.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's like, it's like sort of, so where I come from, it's not usually a very Irish speaking area. So there'd be areas in the Gaeltacht, which is probably, Gaeltacht's probably like 2 hours away from me, an hour and a half away from me. And that's areas that Irish was always in. So they always spoke Irish there because a lot of the Irish, you weren't allowed to speak Irish years and years ago. But then there was always Irish there. So they'd have different abbreviations for the Irish language. So mine would be very enunciated and then their Irish would be sort of abbreviated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool because I go to an Irish school.
Yeah.
I have teachers that live in the Gaeltacht. And sometimes you'll be speaking with them. You'll be like, what? Because they'll be saying something and it doesn't sound anything like the Irish you speak.
Yeah. But it's still Irish.
It's still Irish.
It's the same words. It's just that
it just
enunciated differently.
Yeah. It just sounds like they'd be, you know how I'd say, I want to go to the shops. Yeah. I want to go to the pool. That like, I'd say, Tame Giri Dulhagan Shoppa. And that means I want to go to the shops. But they'd say, Tame Giri Dulhagan Shoppa. And that would mean, that would say, like, be like, want to go to the shops. It would be sort of less.
Yeah.
I'd say, I'd more enunciate words. And whereas they'd, because they've been speaking it all their lives.
Yeah.
They'd, like, you know, just as it happens.
Yeah. That's really cool.
It evolves, yeah.
That's great. And here's something, this is pretty interesting too. Europe's, not even just Ireland's, but Europe's biggest festival of Bob Dylan music.
Yeah, is in my town.
Is in your town.
Yeah.
Small town. It's called Stuck Inside of Moville, the Dylan Fest at the Loft. It's the Loft takes place, the Dylan Fest at the Loft?
At the Loft?
Is that the name of it? L-O-U-G-H, takes place in Moville.
At the Loch. So that would be the Loch that we live
the
on.
The Loch, okay. Yeah. And what does that mean? Like, what's the...
The Loch is, so basically, like, the area that it goes, the river sort of goes into Ireland.
Okay.
So it, like, comes into the country a little bit because, you know, so, yeah, it's not right directly on the ocean.
Okay.
It comes into the land a little bit.
Oh, so, okay, so it has to do with, like, the way the river cuts through there.
Yeah, it's, like, it's not a river, it's, like, a lock, but it kind of looks like a river.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then they also have the... every year as well, Ireland's only annual festival. I mean, like I'd be curious if United States even has a festival about it. So it's like the only festival. It still sounds pretty interesting. The Beatles music.
Beatles festival. That's on at the moment in my town. Well, I think it was like last weekend.
Yeah, consecutive weekends at the end of August is when they happen.
Yeah, it's class crack.
Yeah. You ever go to it?
I go to it all the time. It's actually one of my friends, Jerry McLaughlin.
Oh, really?
He has his own website, crackon.com.
Okay.
And they have like... He organises it and stuff, and then one of my other mates, Seamus Canavan, he has his own hostel, Moville Holiday Hostel. It's like a little boutique hostel. It's really nice in there, and he sort of accommodates all the bands and stuff that come down.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you guys have a lot of concerts coming up there? Do you have a lot of, like, festivals?
We don't really. There's those two, the Dylan Fest, the Beatle Fest, and I think there's the very first Jewel Box Festival, which happened this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you guys, are, like, the Beatles and Dylan still the biggest bands over there? Or what? Like, because of all the bands have festivals up.
Yeah. That's well, it's like, I think it's like a generational thing. Yeah. So, like, for this film, yeah, I've really started listening to a lot of Beatles music, and it wouldn't be like I'd know all the names of the songs and stuff, but I bought the thingy on iTunes or the playlist to all the music that's in Kubo.
Yeah, because I noticed it ends with a Regina Spektor cover of While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Exactly, yeah. And that's like, it's amazing.
That's that's one reason, like, the closing credit animation was beautiful.
Yeah.
But I also, part of me why I wanted to stay through it all was because I wanted to know who was doing this cover of While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Yeah, and I'd never met her before either, and she's really, really lovely.
Really? So you've met her since?
I met her the last time we were in LA.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's so like I'd started listening to it now, so I'd be a lot more interested in the Beatles Festival now. Whereas, like, usually I just go down to see all the boys from the town and see the new bands and stuff that are down. But it's really cool.
So there's other bands that play there.
There is other bands.
Do they all play cover songs of the Beatles, or is it more of just like a celebratory thing of like music in general?
Yeah, they'd probably do the odd Beatles song, but like there's a great band where we live called Springtides.
Okay.
And they're a really good band, and like they sort of go and play there, and like they're like the biggest band where I live, and they're really good. I don't get to see them a lot though, because they play a lot of like overage things.
Okay.
But they recently had like it was last year they did a gig, and that was the first gig of theirs I'd been to, and I really, really liked it.
Yeah.
They're a great band.
I remember being, you know, your age, and it really sucking so bad not being able to get into stuff because there was like age limits.
Yeah, it's terrible. And it's like in Ireland as well, it's like there is such a rich culture of like music and Irish speaking.
Yeah.
The music is probably the most prominent culture along with the Gaelic football and the hurling. So,
yeah, you mentioned Gaelic football downstairs earlier also. What is that? Because I know overseas football is soccer.
Yeah.
But what is Gaelic football?
Gaelic football is, it's like, have you ever heard of Aussie rules?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a little bit like Aussie rules as for like the hits and stuff like that. You know, you're allowed to like shoulder people a lot and stuff. And, but basically you have two teams of 15 players, and, there's the fullbacks, the halfbacks, the midfield. There's the goalkeeper, the fullbacks, halfbacks, midfield, half forwards, and full forwards. And there's one goalkeeper, and then three halfbacks, three fullbacks, two midfielders, three half forwards, and three full forwards. But like you sort of switch it around, different tactics and different plays and stuff like that as well. But it's a really cool sport. So basically, you use kind of like a soccer ball.
Okay.
And it's like made of leather, it's a good hard ball, and then you put it over the bar for 1 point and in the net for 3 points. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so there's two ways you can score each time then. Okay.
So you can put it over the bar, and it's like a sort of soccer net, but the posts go way up. And I love it.
I'm looking here, Gaelic football is the most popular sport in Ireland in terms of attendance. Mm-hmm. And the final of the All-Ireland Senior Championship held annually at Croke Park, Dublin, draws crowds of more than 80,000 people.
Yeah, so that's all Croke Park can hold 80,000. I think it might be 83,000 or something, but it's always sold out.
The Gaelic football is one of four sports collectively referred to as the Gaelic Games.
Yeah, the Gaelic Athletic Association, so I don't even know the fourth sport, but hurling and Gaelic are the most popular, and then there's handball as well.
Yep, and then I'm also looking here, Rounders.
It
says Rounders, is that?
That's not really, along with, like, handball's sort of had a resurgence, but, like, Rounders isn't really played that much.
Yeah, Rounders is a bat and ball game played between two teams.
Yeah, it's very, like, it's very sort of...
Like baseball?
Baseball, crickety.
Okay. And what about, there was, what, hurling? What is hurling?
Hurling's good crack. I don't play hurling.
Yeah, but you like it?
I love it, yeah. I used to play whenever I was younger, but that can be a little bit more aggressive than Gaelic, because it's got bats and stuff.
Really? I'm looking here. The game has prehistoric origins and has been played for over 3,000 years, hurling. Yeah. One of Ireland's native Gaelic games, it shares a number of features with Gaelic football, such as the field and the goals.
Yeah.
The number and the terminology. But the object of the game is for players to use a wooden stick called a hurley.
A hurl, yeah. So it's basically the exact same game, but they use a slitter, which it's called, and it's filled with cork, and then it's wrapped in leather, and then there's like, it's got the, you know, the pattern that goes around a baseball and a tennis ball?
Okay, yeah.
It's got that, but that sort of, it comes out, and that's like a leather wrapping on it as well.
Okay.
Just that those lines, and then it's the same, put it over the bar for a point, and then net for 3 points. And then also it's the same kind of thing, but you can knock it out of their hands with a wooden bat. So there's a lot of, and like, it sounds crazy, but it's a great sport. And like, it's the same with Gaelic though. You go up for a ball and this very, like this heavy enough leather ball, you break a lot of fingers and stuff, jumping up in the midair and trying to catch it. But in hurling, there's definitely a lot more injuries.
Yeah, I'm looking here too. It's kind of got a little bit of like, so it's kind of like with basketball to an extent too, where it's like a player who wants to carry the ball for more than 4 steps has to bounce or balance the slyotar on the end of the stick and the ball can only be handled twice while in his possession.
That's hurling. But in Gaelic, you have to bounce or solo.
Okay.
But like it's easier to solo because once you've got that skill, which you usually get perfected about under 12s, so once you get that, it's a lot easier because if you're bouncing it, and Ireland, it rains a lot.
Okay.
So if you bounce a ball in the rain, a lot of the time if a pitch is waterlogged and stuff, it's not going to bounce back up too high.
No.
So, and people are going to start shouting at you if you lose the ball.
And there's no, in hurling, there's no protective padding worn by players?
No, in Gaelic it's the same, except hurlers wear a helmet.
Yeah.
But the helmet...
It sounds so violent. They must get hurt a lot. Do the players get hurt?
It can, they get hurt. It can be violent, but it's like, it's a great sport.
Yeah.
It's cultural, you know?
Also in Mobile, there's a regatta, which is...
There's the regatta, yeah.
Every year, an annual regatta, which I didn't know what that was, so I looked it up. And it's a series of boat races.
Yeah.
And it's held every year and has been done since the 19th century. In older times, the one-man punt was popular, but now it's homemade rafts. Mm-hmm. I guess people are having homemade raft competitions.
Yeah, they make their own rafts. They often sink.
Really?
Yeah, but it's like it's.
Have you ever made one?
I haven't made one. No.
Have you known? Do you know anybody who's made one?
Yeah, the Kellys in our town. They sort of enter annually, and they always win it.
Really?
Yeah. But there's a lot of different families that enter it. But there's also a cool sort of annual thing. Well, it used to happen years ago and then they stopped it because it got a bit dangerous, but they've recently started it up again, and my dad usually does it, which is the lighthouse swim. So you know how and oftentimes there's a lighthouse in the middle of the sort of lock so that you can like so boats know what the midpoint is and stuff, so you basically go and swim around it and then come back, and it's like a race.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think it's like 2 miles.
Really?
So it's a long swim.
Do you do this at night?
I don't do this. No, you do it in the daytime.
The daytime.
But I don't do it. I think you have to be over 16 to do it.
Okay.
But I'd love to do it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of training involved. My dad does it. And he hasn't done it in recent years, but he did it the first 3 years. And he's a graphic designer as well.
Okay.
So he designed the t-shirts and stuff for them for the first couple of years.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
It's class.
Is your dad a pretty good swimmer?
He's a pretty good swimmer. He was never a pretty good swimmer before. Like, he just started, he met a boy, we used to have we have a cafe now in Derry.
Okay.
We used to have a cafe in Mavill, where I live, which was the Potting Green Cafe. And then once we opened up, we were planning to keep it open, but once we opened up the cafe in Derry, it was like, it got very, very busy very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So we were just said, we'll give it to someone else and they can look after it. But, so he doesn't really have the time these days. But yeah, so he met a man in the cafe. He was telling him about it. He said, he asked him to do it, and he was like, yeah, of course I'll do it. And then I don't think he realized the sort of pressure of it and the amount that it would take until he saw him up training in the pool. And then he started training a lot, and then he did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a pretty good swimmer?
I swim in the Irish Ocean, so that's freezing.
Yeah.
And I've done that since I was young, so I love that. And then for San Andreas, which is the film I did with Dwayne Johnson, Alexander Dario, and I had to do diving training for that. And I had to strengthen up my swimming skills there because it could be, you know, whenever you've got like giant waves coming in,
yeah.
A lot of that's real. So I like to do the sort of stunts as well. I don't really like to let other people do them because it's fun, you know, it's an experience.
Okay, so this is interesting. This is fun to talk about. Mm-hmm. So you like doing all these stunts. Is that something you want to get more into? Is like, would you like to, like going forward, what types of movies would you like to do? Because you've done quite a from Game of Thrones to doing stop motion voiceover work. And then you got a movie you were telling me about earlier about Zoo yeah. and about an elephant, which is based on a true story. Mm-hmm. Do you, out of the things you've done so far and doing like action to all of these things, what's been your most entertaining or informative or just broadening your talent as what you, you know, because you're still young yet as far as what you want to get into or what you want to do?
I think it's just sort of like this Zoo project is quite a big role. I think I have something like 190 lines in it or something. So that's, I'm in pretty much every scene, and that's going to be a big project for me as far as experience, because I've done lead roles in the past, like this film Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a good film to do, and it's very emotional at times in this film. And I've done a lot of emotional parts in, you know, Game of Thrones, Dracula Untold. So it's going to be cool to re-embrace a character like that. And I think, but as for the future, I'd like to do more sort of a lot of serious roles. I like doing the serious roles because I like to sort of immerse myself in the character, and that gives me a good thrill whenever you get into the mindset of a character. It lets you provide an honest and pure performance, and that's something that I love to do.
Okay. Have you always been a film fan? Like, what made you decide to get into acting?
Well, my mom was an actress.
Okay.
So you guys probably haven't heard of it over here, but Heartbeat and Coronation Street were big shows in the UK and Ireland years ago. And it's probably like, they're like pretty huge there, and she hates me talking about it, so thank God she isn't listening to this. Because she gives out to me a good bit whenever she knows I've been talking about it, so none of you tell her. But she used to be in things like that, and then she had my eldest brother whenever she was 19, and so after that she gave it up for a while, and then after she had me, she decided to get back into it, and she was working fairly steadily, so I was always on film sets and stuff. And you know, a lot of the time whenever it's independent work and stuff, they don't want to go out and spend a lot of money to cast that kid, so they're like, has anybody got a kid who acts? And mom always put up her hand, so I used to come on set and do little parts like that. And then mom opened up a drama school, and I was pretty much going along to that like 5 days a week, 2 hours a day after school. So that gave me a good bit of experience, and I was always immersed in the culture of film and TV. And then I got a film called Freak Dogs, you were saying at the start, and then I have a friend, Maria Mulhall, and she works on Game of Thrones, and she started off on Game of Thrones as looking after the background extras. And she would always sort of, you know, help them out with whatever they need and organize them and let them know where they were going. And a lot of like the work ADs do, but sort of for the extras, because there is so many extras on Game of Thrones with the big battles and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so she started off, she did that, and then they were looking for someone to play Rick on, and they looked all over, and there was no one that was like 6 years old and could handle a part like that. And because I'd had so much experience, she said, well, I've got a friend, and she has a son, and he's an actor. And then I went, and I met with one of the casting directors, and it wasn't Nina Gold, who everybody seems to be cast with except for me on Game of Thrones, but I met with another casting director, and she actually owns a company called Extras NI now, and she works with extras and getting them jobs and stuff, which is really cool. And then she said, listen, I'll definitely find you a part. So there was one of two parts. There was the part of Tommen, or there was the part of Rickon. And I auditioned for Rickon in the beginning. So they were like, well, we'll definitely either give you Tommen or Rickon, and hopefully you'll get Rickon.
Yeah.
Because like that was the part I wanted to do. And
You didn't want to jump out of a building?
I didn't want to jump out of no buildings.
Spoiler alert.
And I'm not at that part yet, so you've just ruined it for me.
Well, you know.
But so then that was on the Friday, and then on the Monday I went and met David and Dan again, for the first time, and performed in front of them, and they were quite impressed. So then they said, okay, we're just going to discuss a few things, and would you stand out in the hall for a while? And they came out, and they were like, okay, so we want to give you the part. And I was ecstatic, and thanked them and stuff. And then after that, I did a few small projects, you know, like 2 week shoots whenever I could, because I wasn't able to work on a lot of other projects while I was on Thrones. So whenever I got that two seasons off,
yeah,
it was great because I got to do, you know, Love Rosie, The Anomaly, shooting for Socrates, Dracula Untold, San Andreas, and then this project, Kubo and the Two Strings. And I got to work so much, that was like amazing for me, and I got so much more experience rather than just the Rickon Stark project. And so that was where it all kind of blew up for me, that two seasons off.
And that's that two seasons is, you've gotten so much in that time too, to where, and they've mm-hmm. they've come out over to where it's almost like you've been working for a long 5 years, when it's really, it was two seasons off.
It was like a 2 year period where we just did so much, and they all came out like pretty much slap bang straight after each other.
Yeah.
So it was like, I remember there was one point where I had like three cinemas I had three movies in the cinema at once, and that was something that was like a dream come true.
Yeah.
You know, to see your name up there and on those posters, and I absolutely, yeah, it was great. And it was great to get that experience, you know, because whenever you're just sort of embracing one character, it's like, you know, it's great, and it was a great character to embrace, but whenever I got to work on other characters and sort of experience like modern day characters, futuristic characters, it was a really cool experience and something I learned from.
Yeah. Now, you were talking about in San Andreas, you wanted to do some of your stunts.
Yeah.
And Game of Thrones, did you, in that battle scene, were you doing the running to Jon Snow? Or,
I was, yeah.
And how many times did you have to run back and forth?
So it was a huge, huge field.
Yeah.
And I'd say the field was easily a kilometer long. And I ran it probably about 20 or 30 times.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
That's bananas.
It was crazy.
You didn't want to be like, hey, let's pull in Johnny from the sideline. Let's get in this stunt double over here.
But to be fair, we did have the stunt double there, Edward Upcott. Yeah. And he was brilliant. He was actually a dancer. He was in a... he was a dancer, and he actually won Britain's Got Talent.
Oh wow!
And you used to probably get that over here, don't you?
It's on some channel.
Yeah. Well, he'd sort of started working in the stunt industry, and he was great.
Yeah.
And he was really, really helpful, and he was like, you know, if you want to take a break on these wide shots, I can run it for you. But I think that's something that I love to do as well.
Is run?
Not just run, but like get myself into the mindset of a character. You know, whenever you're in a field where there's people all around you, like holding bow and arrows, and they're telling you that someone's going to be shooting you in the back soon, it's like it gets you into the mindset of a character, and it's like you are that character and you become that character, which, as I said, provides a pure and honest performance.
Yeah, but that pure and honest performance over 20 times of running, so wear you down.
Yeah, I mean,
I can see that pure and honest performance maybe three times running. Yeah. But after like four times, I don't like being running unless I'm chased.
Yeah.
Let alone
see that,
running
back
and
thing
forth.
As well. I was like, in my mind, I was being chased by a flying arrow.
Yeah.
So
now,
by
like the 10th time, were they still telling you, and now you're getting shot?
Well, a lot of it wasn't the whole time where I was running.
Okay.
I was running the whole length of the field. Yeah. It was probably like 10 times I actually ran the whole length
of the field.
Which was definitely enough for me. But a lot of the times it would have been like half of the field, and then a quarter of the field, and then three quarters of the field, just so they can get the right shots. But but it was still pretty tiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet.
It's crazy.
Well, you look great.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're keeping
60 pounds. I had to splurge a bit after that.
So much that day.
There, I had like a plate of brownies and I was like,
Leica Entertainment, they did Kubo here.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting to me. They've done quite a few Academy nominated animated films. They did Paranorman, The Box Trolls, and Coraline.
Yeah.
The studio, this is it's always interesting to find out companies that are and who they're owned by or who founded them.
Mm-hmm.
But Leica is the studio is owned by Nike co-founder and chairman Phil Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also located in the Portland metropolitan area.
Yeah.
When you signed on to do this movie, did they give you free Nikes?
No, they didn't.
What?
I didn't know until like, I didn't know that.
Get Travis on the phone.
I didn't know they were affiliated with it until after I'd done the project. After it was probably like 3 days in.
It's interesting because the sandals Kubo wears have the Nike swoosh on them.
Oh, of course, no. But I did. They actually are making Kubo Air Jordans.
Of course they are.
The Kubo 15s they're making. So it's and like I love shoes, as I was telling you earlier. So like whenever you don't get, or maybe I wasn't telling you, maybe I was telling Jay downstairs, but they don't get Jordans and fancy Nikes and LeBrons and KDs and stuff in Ireland. You can't find them. It's all like Roches are very popular, and Vans are popular, and Adidas and stuff like that.
But,
and don't get me wrong, I love Adidas as well. But you don't get like Ultra Boost over there and stuff like that. So because there isn't like a big culture for sneakers and stuff over there.
That's interesting. But you can buy them on the Amazon.
But that's the thing. So it's like you buy a pair of shoes and you're like, okay, they're like $100. That's a bit of a splurge there. And I'm like, okay, I'll spend $100 because I'll never be able to find them in Ireland. And I'll have to wait till I'm over in LA and then I'll have to pack them. And I'm like, okay. And then you go to the cart and it's like, plus $250 for shipping.
Are you
shitting me? Yeah, so it's like
much to ship?
It's not. That's an exaggeration, but it's expensive.
It's expensive.
I wanted to buy a pair of shoes, and they were $40. $40 pair of Converse.
Okay.
And I tried to ship them, and it ended up being $190. But I was like, no way am I paying that.
How does? Because Amazon's like a worldwide thing.
Yeah, Amazon doesn't do that.
But
eBay, Finish Line, Foot Locker, and all of them, it's expensive.
They charge
to ship.
That expensive.
Yeah.
That's so bananas. Because I feel like there's companies and shipping places out of like England and closer.
No, you see,
it's not like they're just coming from the United States.
Yeah. But like, you don't get a lot of, like, it's different. So you wouldn't get Jordans in a Foot Locker in England or Ireland. It's just, you don't get them at all.
Huh.
Like, you get Vans and stuff and Roches, as they're saying, but it's like, it's all
you don't
very,
get like the new the
no you don't get anything you don't get LeBrons, KDs. I love all them.
Yeah.
You know,
you like LeBrons.
I like LeBrons.
What's your favorite shoe right now? What was your when you were coming here to do press, what was your like, I'm picking up a pair of these kicks? What was your list?
Well, the only place in Ireland you can get Jordan brand shoes is the Foot Locker on O'Connell Street in Dublin.
Oh, I know.
So
that
I got to there once. And I got a pair of the Air Jordan 4 Alternate 89s, and I loved them.
Yeah?
And I'm like scared to wear them, though, because I'll never be able to find a pair in Ireland that's under $500 for shipping. And
oh, man, Kubo 2 money, though.
Yeah.
You're going to get a sequel, and you're going to be buying all these things.
No, I don't spend any money, really.
What?
Yeah, it's like, I feel like I love shoes and stuff, but I that's something that, you know, you might be able to wear for a year or two. And then
so these alternate 89s, do you wear them or do you just...
I wear them sometimes, but like I wear a lot of Adidas Ultra Boost.
Okay.
Adidas show me love and they send me a lot of shoes and stuff. So
hey, Adidas, I love you too. Send me some, I'll take some of those.
Yeah, and I've got a great publicist, John Goshen.
Yeah, and he gets you some. Yeah, hey John downstairs, I like Adidas tennis shoes as well.
Yeah, you met him earlier.
Yeah, I like some shoes.
So I get the Ultra Boost from them, which are unbelievably comfortable, and I'm on the road a lot traveling to stuff like places like this, and so it's like great for the plane and stuff. And then I love Jordans, I love Nikes, but my favorite model is probably, I got the Nike KD9s recently.
Okay.
The black and white mic drop ones.
Okay.
I love them.
I've seen those are great.
I got them in the Grove, which is the first time I've been to the Grove, so that was cool as well.
I'm looking at a picture of these Adidas Ultra Boosts.
Oh, have you
seen? Yeah. Are those? Is that like?
That's the uncaged ones.
Okay.
Have you seen? Look, go on to like actual Google images.
Okay.
And they became popular originally because Kanye West wore them, and he's got his Yeezy line and stuff. But like you can't find Yeezys in Ireland. That's like, that's a unicorn in Ireland.
Is it?
Yeah.
You got to get some out here and take them back.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Sell them for like 19,000 times that.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's them. I got the, what ones did I get? I got the olive green ones recently, the uncaged. And then I've got these ones as well.
These ones?
No, a little down and to the left.
Those are sick, dude.
Yeah, they're nice.
Hey, Adidas, if you're listening, I'll take a pair of those.
Yeah, they're really, really nice. And you should feel the comfort of them. It's unbelievable.
Oh, hey, you're just telling me cool things more. Hey, I really want some of these now.
Yeah.
Hey, you should really feel the insides. And it's they're so comfortable. Hey, thanks.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeezy, so you don't you want to, you got to get some of those.
Yeezys. I have to get a pair of Yeezys, but it's like I spend like $100 at most on shoes.
Yeah,
so even their retail is expensive, and I saw Kanye West earlier saying like he wants to do shoes where it's like they're cheap and they're affordable and everybody
can
get them.
He's not gonna do that.
But yeah, maybe it's like the hype run. I think he'll eventually do it. I think he will. But I think it'll be like a couple of years before that actually happens.
There's definitely, I definitely agree with you in the sense that I'm not, I don't own a lot of shoes.
Yeah.
I buy shoes when I can, and I try to, yeah, like, exactly. I have like three pairs of shoes that I rotate so they don't get all worn out easily.
Yeah.
But it's also like, you like these pair of Reebok Classics I got on
now.
Nice. Thank you. I love Reebok Classics. I got a pair of PF Flyer Glides. I tend to go to like the same type of shoe
because
I know what I like. I fit. I mean, I'm 34, so I've been. I'm an old man. I'm a crotchety old man when it comes to I like my shoes. But they're like these were like $66.
Yeah,
which isn't a lot, but.
But for what it's they like, used to be.
For what like, they used to be.
I remember being able to walk into a shop whenever I was like, and I say this as if I'm really old.
Oh, I'm going to.
Back in the day, you could get these for four.
I'm gonna lay some knowledge on you as soon as you're done with this. Yeah. Continue.
So I used to be able to like walk into a shop and buy a pair of shoes for like 20 euro, 20 sterling, you know?
Okay.
And nowadays I walk into a shop and a pair of Rochers, which are like midline shoes, are like 60 euro.
Holy
and that's
God.
Expensive.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they go down and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's just a waiting game.
I bought my very first pair of Converse All-Stars.
I love Converse.
I probably was maybe 15, 14 or 15, for $12.
What?
Yeah. For $12. I still have my first pair. I still have them. I haven't worn them in like 12 years. I'll wear them on occasion.
Yeah.
$12. Yeah, they're like $12, dude. They're like the black and white ones.
Yeah,
now they're like $50, and it's the same damn shoe.
Yeah,
it's
I think they're even more
it's
than
canvas,
that. 70.
Probably. Yeah. It's literally just it's like a sock with a rubber bottom.
But see, the thing is, as well, like you look at those shoes, and they're like probably terrible for your feet.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the one side of it. So I can see them. And it's not actually like people say, oh, they make them for like $3, but that's not strictly true. They do make them for like. Not like I'm they
like
probably
$2.
Yeah they do make them for a good like probably like 20 euro for a pair of Jordans, but it's still a lot more than it can be exaggerated to, and but so I sometimes can justify spending the price, but as well I don't like to spend money.
That's,
I don't like to be materialistic. And I think I want to save up money for an education if I decide to go to university whenever I get to that point, but Education's good.
Education, knowledge is power, as they say.
Yeah, exactly.
That's something that doesn't diminish, which is definitely opposed to, especially like with buying like clothes and fashion.
Yes.
And especially at your age, you're going to grow out of it anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, me, I'm stuck the way I look. I can't, you know what I mean? Like I could buy whatever and it would fit me in 20 years. But it's definitely an interesting thing because it's, like what are you competing with when you're buying clothes, when you're spending all this money for these expensive like shoes or whatever, and it's like they're gonna be worn out in a year, and then you're gonna need to get a new pair or whatever, and it's almost like they purposely do that so you want to continue buying more or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but see the thing for me is like I have a good amount of shoes. I probably have like 6 or 7 pairs of shoes, which is like way too many, way more than I need.
Yeah. What size shoe do you wear?
I don't think I should tell you. I wear a US 10.
Oh.
And,
giant over here.
Yeah.
I need an 8.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you got them female feet.
Yeah, I do. I do. I got a man's body and female feet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so tiny and cute.
I know. Holy cow. Yeah. Look at that.
But I have two older brothers.
Ah.
And one of my brothers is like, 6'1",
no,
and he's like 16, and then I have another brother that's like almost 19, and he's like 5'8".
Oh wow!
So he's like not much taller than me. So so one of them grew up a lot more than the other one. So I can sort of look, and I'm very like Pierce, whereas Parik is like tall, red haired. Well, not red haired, but like sort of chestnutty, red, and So he's like that, and then I'm more like Pierce. I've got the darker hair, and like if you've seen a picture of Pierce, then I look exactly like him.
Yeah. Is he your older brother?
He's my eldest brother.
Pierce is your eldest brother.
Yeah.
And Porik is your youngest brother.
No, he's the middle brother. He's 16.
How many brothers do you have?
Two brothers, including me. There's three. So I'm 14. Porik's 16. Pierce is 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you have how did you get art after there were two P's and then yours, right?
So, yeah, there was two P's and then there was art. So that might seem random, but my mom had a dream. So while she was well, whenever she was younger, she had a teddy bear called Art. And then there's like the old, you know, the old, like there's stories behind the names. So there's like, you know, there's Irish history behind them. So for me, it would be Art the Great.
Okay.
Which is like an Irish folk tale. And then for Pearse and Porrick, it would be Padraig Pearse. So that would be that. And then Mum had a bear called Art. And then the night, like a couple of nights before she had me, she was pregnant and she had a dream about this bear that she used to have. And that's how she sort of came up with the name.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, that's her story.
That's her story.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good story.
Yeah, it's a pretty good story.
You were named after a teddy bear.
Yeah, I was named after a teddy bear.
You're a teddy bear.
Mm-hmm. I'm all soft inside. I'm really just nice and warm. I'm not.
You're not. You're a Sith Lord.
I'm ice cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had superpowers, would you be a hero or a villain? Because I'd probably be a villain on most days.
That's, come on. No, I think I'd be a superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, but I'd be like, I wouldn't be like chasing bank robbers and stuff. I'd be chasing like Donald Trumps and stuff.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. 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 Right.
Yeah.
See, I would probably be on. I'd like to think I'd be a hero.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of days
but then
where it's
there's like,
oh, man, I
like,
just...
Unless you're like, we're in a comic book store yeah. right now. So if you look like Batman, he's a multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
Like Arrow in the TV show and all, yeah. he's like a multi-billionaire.
Do you watch The Flash?
I got into...
Or do you just watch Arrow?
I got into Arrow and The Flash, and then I was watching Arrow, and there was like things going on, and I didn't understand them, and
yeah.
I was like, wait, I need to watch The Flash as well. And then it all made sense. And then I needed to watch two shows, and then I started on San Andreas.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm not going to watch this
yeah.
until I get back, and I'm just going to leave it there, because I was so busy over there. And then I was like, oh. I got back and I was like, do I really want to start watching two more shows? Plus the like, and then I actually took a year off then because my brother was doing his leaving cert and his junior cert, so we didn't act for a year, and then we came back and we started promoting this recently, and now we're going on to two other projects. But yeah, so that was how that kind of worked, and I just sort of gave up on it, really.
Yeah.
It was, like, too much hassle for me. My brain can't handle two shows at once. No, it's way too
confusing.
Just
two strings.
Yeah.
What shows are you watching?
Oh,
any
I
shows
get it.
Now?
I get that one.
Are you watching any shows right now?
See, I try to watch Game of Thrones, but I don't really, because people would ask me about Game of Thrones,
yeah.
but now that I'm dead, spoiler alert,
yeah.
I just ruin everything everyone.
You're more than dead, buddy.
Yeah. I'm in
dead is like maybe
with,
two arrows. Yeah.
Yeah. I got like four in the eye. But yeah, so I try to watch that, but I think I'm so sort of immersed in the project that it's all been ruined for me. So I need
yeah.
When I'm like 25, I might go back and start watching that show and be like, okay, I can see
yeah.
what it's all about. Or I might be like, I don't see what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, I watch it and sometimes I'm like, I don't know what it's all about.
I got to season 3.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm watching all these shows, and I was watching Making Murder at the time, and I took a break.
See, that's one show I didn't watch.
Oh, did you? That's amazing.
Everybody loves
that's
that.
That's amazing.
Everybody loves that show.
Yeah.
Did you watch Stranger Things?
No.
Oh, dude.
People keep telling me about
dude.
The Stranger Things. What is it?
Did you watch Stranger Things?
No.
What?
No?
I haven't watched it yet. I need to start.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good, bro.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
You got a 15-hour flight back. Just get the
exactly.
plane Wi-Fi
exactly.
and watch all eight
and that's
of them.
Something
there's
that,
only
like,
8 episodes.
That's something that I sit there on the plane contemplating. I'm like, should I buy the Wi-Fi for
yes.
$15? And
oh,
then I'm
it?
Like,
yes.
yeah. And then I'm like, well, it's like $1 an hour because it's such a long flight. And
yeah.
I'm like, I should probably just do it.
Yeah.
But by the time I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then it's like,
please
there's
put yourself
hours.
On the way. We're
yeah, and it's
in.
Like, we're about to land the plane.
Yeah.
There is in the next 40 minutes. And I just...
Stranger
you know.
Things is great.
Is it?
And there's only 8 episodes, so it's 8 hours.
See, I only really recently got Netflix because before I was like, my brother was like paying his friend like €2 or $2
yeah.
to use the,
his password.
And then they were just like, yeah, to use his password
yeah,
and stuff.
I use my brother's for free.
Yeah. And,
don't give my brother any ideas.
So,
I'm not
yeah.
giving him any money.
So, my brother used to do that, and then it started like, it was like all of Porrick's friends were doing it and all of their siblings were doing it. And then it got to a point where it was like, you'd be watching a show and it would cut out because there's like 25 different people on the same account.
Yeah.
And so then we only recently actually got our own account, so I need to sit down and actually get in. But you know what I loved? Gotham. I loved
really?
Gotham.
Are you still watching it?
I got into the first season, and then it was like the second season wasn't on Netflix at the time. I was like, oh, what am I supposed to do? Because I don't want to start watching another show and completely forget about that.
Yeah.
So, and then I was like, and there's no other way to do it apart from illegally downloading it, and I'm not doing that. Like, that kills the business. Yeah. But, no, I actually don't, believe it or not. But I was like, I'm not doing that. So I just had to sort of sit and cry until the next season came out. And I still don't think it's out, but it's gotten to the point where I've basically forgotten what happened.
I watched the first half of the first season, and then I'm just like, oh. And Batman's like my shit. Like, I love Batman. Yeah, yeah. Batman's my jam.
Batman's great as well. But this one was like Suicide Squad. That looks pretty good. But, like, I thought it was like they all break out of prison at once.
Yeah.
And then it's like a massive Joker fest, and they all have to catch them all. And, like Pokemon, catch them all.
Yeah.
And it's like Will Smith trying to catch them all. And I was that sounds amazing. And then I realized it was like, it wasn't like that. It was like they're all fighting evil. And that's like the opposite of what the Joker does.
Yeah, exactly.
The Joker's evil.
Yeah.
And he's great.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about it, and I was like, is anybody going to live up to Heath Ledger? And then
supposedly nobody. Supposedly this movie doesn't live up to
Is that what you've heard?
Oh, I've heard. I've
distanced myself from it until I see it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've heard bad things.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
See, I've seen videos with people talking and like vlogs and stuff like that, and people are like, oh, we went to see Suicide Squad and it was great and stuff.
Okay.
And then I have friends that say it's great, and then I'm like, Is anything going to live up to it? Because it's like you put them all together in the one show or the one film, and it's like, I don't think.
I don't want to. If you're staying distant, I'm not going to tell you what it has on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Do you want to know?
I want to know. I want to know. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like 0%, is it?
Let's see here. You may be close.
Oh, really?
You know, it's all subjective, but 26%.
What?
On Rotten Tomatoes.
And Rotten Tomatoes, it's like the lower it gets, the worse.
Absolutely, yeah. It's not like golf. Yeah. 26%.
Jeez.
I don't know. I mean, if you want to see it, I'm not, you know, go see, here's the deal. Support the business, go see movies.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I feel like people just say that because
it's interesting when Heath Ledger, like, it's.
But like I liked Batman versus Superman, and everybody was like, that was terrible.
Yeah.
And I
love Suicide Squad.
You think? But like, and then I liked London Has Fallen. Not a lot of people like that.
Yo, that was a good movie.
I thought that was good. But
I liked the first one too.
I was sitting there with my mom and dad, and they were like, that was terrible.
Yeah, you're.
Do you know what I didn't understand? The film. What was it? It was like High Rise. Have you seen that?
I tried watching like half of it, and then I'm just like, and then it was like, snooze, but mom was like, town.
I made it through it all, but mom was like, it depicts society.
Yeah.
And the upper classes and the class system. I was like, I think you're looking too deep, you know? But at the same time, I'm like, what else does it represent? I thought that was Matt Groening walking up the stairs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It looks like him. He's here to draw some Homer Simpson pictures.
Yeah. But I was like, ah...
It's definitely like London Has Fallen. See, it's such a, because I enjoyed that movie too, but that's got 26%. So it is really subjective.
Oh, so
movie,
we'll probably love Suicide Squad then. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I'm not going to see it because I'm a nerd when it comes to the comic book stuff, and
hence the comic book.
Hence, do you know what I mean? Like, I have a lot of friends. I didn't have any friends who've seen London Has Fallen, so I had to see it.
Right.
I have a lot of friends who've seen Suicide Squad.
And they're all telling you it's terrible and ruining it all for you.
Yeah.
See, all my friends, we're all loners, so we just, like, every now and again, like, the group chat will be like, anybody want to go to the pitch? And everyone's like, can't, busy. And then, like, we'll all go out to the underage disco every month or so, but that's about all my squad does.
Yeah, your squad does. Kubo and the Two Strings comes out nationwide August 19th.
Yes.
Everybody
go see it. Everybody
go see it. It also stars the voices of Charlize Theron, Ralph Fiennes, Rooney Mara, George Takei, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Generally you tend to do the voices on your own or anything like that, but did you get to work with Matt at all?
Okay.
Or how did...
So I didn't get to work with Matthew, George... Rooney Mara or Ralph Fiennes, but I did get to work with Brenda Vaccaro and Charlize Theron.
Okay.
And Brenda Vaccaro, she is like experienced in it. She's been like Smurfs, Johnny Bravo. So she was in like everything.
Johnny Bravo.
Yeah. And so it's like whenever you're put up against someone who, and Charlize does a lot of live action.
Yeah.
So she was sort of not new to it, but she wasn't as experienced with Brenda Vaccaro, and that's what I was nervous about. I was like, she's been in a lot of animation and she was used to it. And you know, for me, it was trying to put all my emotion and channel that all into my voice, and that's difficult.
Yeah.
And, like, acting at the best of times is difficult, but, like, doing it with only your voice is really restrictive. But, you see, the thing was, so we walked into the studio, and I was still a little bit nervous, despite the fact that I'd spent months planning for it. And I walked in, and Travis Knight walked me in, our director, and he was very supportive, and he was like, look, there's nothing to be nervous about, and... And I was trying to act like I wasn't nervous at all. I was like, yeah, everything's fine. And I was dying inside. And but I walked in, there was like illustrations, and it was there. Everything was very, very Kubo oriented. So the whole studio was propped up. Like here it's all like comic book memorabilia, but there it's like everything was Kubo on the two strings.
Yeah.
And that was so great, because usually you're on a set and it's like Game of Thrones, you're running through a field everywhere, and it's like it's easy to get into the mindset and slip into that character. But for this, it was like an uncomfortable set. It was a setting for the first time, and then you really get into it and you learn that you actually love it, and it's such a great experience.
You mentioned Charlize. Did you see Mad Max Fury Road?
Did, yeah, loved it.
Wasn't it great?
Wasn't it brilliant?
Oh,
like it was surprising as well, because Tom Hardy didn't actually have a lot of lines in it.
No.
Like how many? Does anybody know how many lines he actually had?
Very few. Let me see.
But it was like. He was, him and Charlize were like crazy characters, and they made such an impression. And I have a friend, Jason Boland, and he's a photographer, and he worked with me on San Andreas, Dracula Untold, and then he did Mad Max, and it was right before I met Charlize. So we were out in Australia, and we were talking with him about it, and it was after we'd met her, because I was in Australia, and he was like, how lovely is she? And he's good friends with her, so that was very cool as well. But he said on set it was strange, because they made such an impact even on the crew, and he did it without a lot of lines. So I think that's sort of like a testament to his acting.
I'm looking here, I don't have an exact number, but there's a YouTube video of just his lines, and it's only like 3.5 minutes.
Oh my god, wow. Yeah. See, that's not great. But that is good, because he was to convey
that character, yeah. And I that many,
like in Game of Thrones, I didn't have a lot of lines, and I didn't have a very prominent character, so it is difficult to make an impression.
Yeah,
and like I've experienced that, but he really did it well.
Oh yeah,
he was brilliant.
He did it great. Art, where can everybody find you on the internet? Are you on social medias?
Art_Parkinson is my Twitter, and then. The Real Art Parkinson is my Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Kubo and the Two Strings comes out the 19th.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else coming up that you wanna plug or any?
I have Zoo coming up, which is a little independent project, but it looks like their script is amazing, and I'm really looking forward to it. And that's going to be shot in Canada and Belfast, and I get to work with baby elephants on it, so I'm loving it. And that's what's up for me at the minute. That's the only thing I can really talk about.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Everybody go see Kubo and the Two Strings. It's a really fun movie. If you liked, you know, Paranorman and Box Trolls and all of those stop motion pictures, which you should, because they're great movies. Kubo and the Two Strings is it's a really fun movie. Like even there's the part of, like, I went into it not knowing anything other than the billboards I've seen in LA.
Yeah.
And the billboards and the posters intrigued me enough to want to see it.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Strings.
Yeah.
And the number two, and I'm like, I want to see this movie.
Yeah.
And I went into it not knowing anything, and I watched it, and it's actually, there's like the banjo and the whole storytelling.
Yeah, the shamisen.
That everything, that was like a really cool idea. Like it really was so cool. Like it was just interesting. It was like, it was something that I didn't expect or know about. And
whenever you look at an animation or a cartoon or something, you don't expect it to be like so powerful.
Yeah.
And whenever I read the script, it was like, there were so many, and I know Travis went through this as well, yeah. There were so many similarities between me and Kubo because I'm very close to my mother, you know, traveling yeah. a lot with my mother.
You also have one eye.
I also have one eye. Yeah. No, I don't. And I'm also a storyteller as yeah. an actor. And he brings his character's life through his shamisen, through his origami, when I like to think that I do that through my actions and my physicalities and my emotions. Yeah. So yeah, it was something I was really excited about. And I think the audience will leave with a sense of empathy and a sense of forgiveness.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really great film. Yeah. Everybody go see it. And do that. Continue to give us, you know, your likes on Facebook. Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan. Give us some more stars on iTunes and tell all your friends to continue listening to this. And do what you do. You guys, we love you guys and you guys love us, and that's what we do here. And as always, shout out to Adidas and yeah. Those shoes there.
And Razzle needs some.
I think Art said he wears 8.5 now. He's starting to wear some smaller shoes. So feel free to just send him some smaller shoes, and I'll pay $400 to have him ship those to Los Angeles. Art, thank you so much for
doing
this.
Thank you very much.
I love the film, and good luck with everything, and we'll see you around.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.